Reformed Church.
You know, recently I was reading some things about youth and being young in Jesus, and I'm not going to necessarily share all that stuff right now. There's just too much to go into, but I was reading in Job 33 about how Elihu is speaking at the time, the only man in the book of Job that God didn't correct and actually repeated what Elihu said to a great degree. And Elihu basically tells Job, he directs Job to the mediator. He calls him the intercessor in the King James Version. But he talks about this intercessor or mediator who's a messenger and is the ransom for the life of people. And he directs Job to the mediator and then starts talking about the various results that you can get when you trust in this mediator. And he tells Job, hey, if you would just say, you know, I have sinned and I've done that which is not right and it has not profited me. And if you confess that to the mediator, you know, he's a ransom for you. And he'll ransom your life from death, keep you from going down to the pit, because that's where people went when they died back in the Old Testament. And he'll keep your life back from the pit. And it says, your flesh shall be fresher than a child's. And that's youth working. He says, you'll return to the days of your youth. And it's pretty powerful to have someone, even in the Old Testament, which maybe Job was even before the Old Testament, but whether before or during, he was before Jesus, and to have Elihu talking to Job about how your flesh will be fresher than a child's if you trust in the mediator. If you tell the mediator that you don't trust in your own works, you tell the mediator that you've not done what is right, it has not profited you, so now you resort to the mediator and what he can give you, that your flesh will be fresher than a child's. And I've been thinking about various things just on youth in general and God's kind of youth, you know, the kind of youth that, you know, in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 1, where he talks about how about Jesus and says that essentially he does not grow old like a garment. All these things will grow old like a garment and like a vesture, you'll fold them up. He says, but you are the same and you do not change and your years do not fail. And all these things about Jesus and how he does not grow old. His years do not fail. And, you know, there's something even about youth in particular that, you know, I don't hear really many people talk about youth real strongly, or even praying for people about youth or seeing miracles of youth, like seeing like laying hands on someone and seeing their face change, or see their bones change or their muscles change, or even the just their structure become young looking. And I don't hear a lot of I do hear some preachers talk about being young, but you know, in the past I've definitely heard that, but I don't hear it taught strongly enough that it's something that's for everybody every time. And it's just one of the results of the mediator that, you know, Psalms 103 says he'll renew your youth like the eagles. And renewal of youth is something that is something Jesus provided, amongst of course a host of other things. But you know what, I was just thinking to the Lord, like, you know, they're definitely, I've been aware of youth for a while, things the Lord has given us, but it's not something, though, that I can, like, say for certain that I have really grabbed a hold of and sort of been as confident in it to the point where I can just be like, I'm going to see this in my life. This is something, I'm going to see miracles of people being made young with the Lord's youth, not corruptible human youth, because even human youths, you know, they can grow weary. They're not everlasting. But it hasn't been something that I've necessarily said to myself in the past, like, you know, yeah, I can pray for people to be young, to restore their youth. I can see miracles like that. And of course, in my own body and in other people's body and mind also as well. But you know what, though? There has to come a time, though, in our life, in our mind, where you say, and this is not an Elijah complex, mind you, the whole, like, I'm the only one that serves God kind of complex like Elijah had. I'm not talking about that, but you do have to come to a point, though, where you say, you know what, Lord, if I were the first one to believe you about this, then let me be the first one to believe you about this, and then I'll blaze a trail for someone else to then start believing these things, too. And everybody, all of us, have to have that mentality, because it is the common thing to, when the Lord tells you something, to kind of look around you, take analysis of what everybody believes and what everybody's experiencing, and then kind of like tailor what you believe to that, and that is just human nature, and of course being, not being human, but being, you know, who Jesus is now, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to press into this and boldly go where no man has gone before. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to go boldly into the holiest and into the things that you've reserved for me. And if no one's ever done this before, it just doesn't matter to me, because I know one person that has done this before. Jesus, you have. You're my forerunner. And, you know, I may be, let's just say, right? I'm saying we can have this mentality about ourselves. You know, I may be the first one to believe you about this in this particular way, but I'm never the first one to experience this. I can only at best be the second one, because you've already experienced this, Jesus. And if you don't think separate from everybody around you, you're going to get the same results as everybody around you. Who you think like is who you're going to be like. So if you think like the world, if you have unbelieving friends that you think like, and just so you know that you think like your unbelieving friends when you get along with them without talking about Jesus. That's how you know that you think like them. And it's not a condemnation. I think wrong in a lot of areas that I don't even realize right now. But to the extent that we get along with unbelieving friends without talking about Jesus is to the extent that we think like our unbelieving friends, because that it couldn't exist, right, without that. And so, or even like we were just talking recently about in an article about like our speech, what comes out of our mouth, how that represents what we believe. And when our speech comes out and it's accepted by someone who is void of the Spirit, that and it can just go on and on like that, you know there's something there that isn't lined up with our new nature in Jesus. We are never like the world as believers. Like that's a given. You're already not like the world. But we need to think in accordance with how different we are from the world. Right? Like you're not like the world. It's not like if you as a believer, if you think like the world, then you know you're like the world. That's why the Bible says that don't be conformed to this world. You know, because the word conformed means don't take the appearance of the world. That word is used purposefully, because you can never be like the world. You can only ever, at best, have the appearance of it. So he's saying just don't have the appearance of it. He's not saying don't be like the world, because it's an impossibility. Jesus said they're not of the world, just like I'm not of the world in John 17. But then Jesus, about the very people that he said weren't of the world any more than he was, he said, and sanctify them. That means separate them. And separate them by your word is truth. Or separate them by the truth, your word is truth. And it's so important to recognize that, because he's saying they're already not like the world, but God, I still want you to separate them on the outside, and you do that, God, by your truth, by your word. In other words, they're not like the world. And Father, if you get them to not think like the world, then they won't look like the world. They're not like the world, and if you can, Father, get them to not think like the world, then they won't walk like the world. God has already called us out from the world. When you got saved in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 6, he goes over what it's like to be saved, and he says, come out from amongst them and be separate. Don't touch that which is unclean, and I'll be a father to you. And that's the call of God. When you get saved, it's God's calling out to you and say, I'll be your father, which means that you can take my likeness now. Don't touch what's unclean. Come out and be separate from them. And so that's the call to every believer. You've already fulfilled that. You're already not like the world, which is why in that very chapter, just a few verses previous, he says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because what do you have in common with them? No more than Christ has in common with Belial do you have in common with the world. And that's even when you have the appearance of the world. He's still saying you're no more like the world than Jesus is like the devil. That's the contrast there. But he says in the following chapter, in chapter 7, he says, let's perfect that holiness, meaning let's get that holiness going in every area of our being. You already have it in your spirit, but he said, let's also perfect that holiness in flesh. And then he says in spirit, but he's talking about your mind there, in flesh and in your mind. You're already not like the world, but you need to start thinking like you're not like the world. And stop consulting the world and even other worldly thinking believers for what you have in Christ. You have to stop consulting everybody. There are even times where you're going to have to physically separate yourself out from other people. Physically separate yourself out from other people to get away from their influence. And there may be even times where you take time where you're even more separate than usual from other people. We did this with this church. We took time out to even be more separate than usual. That's where we're right in Liberty, New York right now. We separate ourselves even more than usual just from all the other doctrine in other churches and even just hanging out with other churches. And we came out and we were separate so that we could learn and hear what God had to say rather than constantly being influenced by what other churches were saying at the time. I went through a period of time where I was growing in the Lord, but I would listen to different messages from, you know, mostly anybody. And the Lord told me, just stop listening to messages from other people. And I want to speak to you for myself. And why is it that sometimes, even physically, sometimes you need to take time to just be separate from everybody else? And the reason why you have to do that, sometimes even physically, even taking private time to be separate from everything else and cut yourself off from everything else and just hear God, is because God wants to share things with you that no one else is going to tell you. So if all you do is hang out with other people and ingest all the stuff of this world, you're never going to hear what God, you're never going to be quiet enough to hear what God has to tell you. So sometimes it even takes, and I say sometimes, we even take time to be separate physically from the world or from other people just to be able to hear God and to get downloaded with the truth. But whether you're amongst other people or you're taking that physical separation time, God wants us to think separately, though. God needs us to think separately. We need to think separately if we want to live separately. And even tying this back to what I was just saying about youth, and I'll pretty much stop with this, but with youth is that, you know, like, I know that, like, for instance, that's not a common thing. So I need to press into the Lord, and I need to hear from Him what He really did for me in this area. Because He's the one that's going to tell me the truth. I mean, that's what Peter said, right? That, like, you're the one that has the words of eternal life. So, like, we have to stick with you. We got to go with what you're saying. And God wants to tell you things that other people are not going to be telling you. He wants to show you things that you're not going to know just by someone else's word. And you have to be willing to separate yourself out and separate your mind out to get focused on Jesus and cut off from what everybody else is saying. If you ever want to walk separate in your life, you're not gonna. That's, people call it holiness, but it's just being separate. It's like similar to saying getting better results, separate results, different results than the living and the dying that the world does. I don't want to do that. You know, God has better for you. God has better for me, and it's important that we press into what He's saying, cutting ourselves off from what everybody else is saying and all the other influences out there, so we can walk separate. Again, you are separate. Therefore, God wants you to think like you're separate so that you can walk separate. That's spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is already separate, so He wants you to think like you're separate in your soul so that in your body you can walk separately. But it seeing as we're already separate in our spirit, it starts, though, with us thinking differently. And you cannot just say, you know, you can say, well, I want to think differently. So you're going to put the Word of God and you're going to think differently. I'm just going to hear from God. I'm going to think differently. Well, I'm keeping all of my influences intact, though, from the world. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. You literally can't do it. Even with ingesting all the Word of God that you possibly can, if you keep all your same influences intact, you'll still think like the world. And it's a weird thing. You wouldn't think that it would work that way, but you'll still think like the world. This is why Proverbs 13:20, I believe it is, says that those who walk with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Meaning, you don't realize how much influence you're taking in from even the people you hang out with or from the things you're ingesting online, through TV, through whatever, all this noise that goes on around you. You don't realize how much you're ingesting. And if you keep all your influences exactly the same as the world, even while you're ingesting the Word of God, you're going to get very similar results to the world. Because these things can choke and cancel out the good things you're hearing. So it's not just about taking in the Word of God. It's about cutting off the things that contradict. Cutting off things, and even if it's just noise. Sometimes it could just be neutral noise. It's not even contradicting the Word of God, but you even got to cut those things off because I don't want to think like them. If you don't want to think like them, then don't walk with them. If you don't want to think like them, then don't watch that. If you don't want to think like that, then don't listen to that. Look at the things you're listening and watching and consuming and people you're hanging out with and ask yourself if you want to think like them and if you want to live like them. Because if you don't, be careful. You need some portion control, therefore, in what you're ingesting and in what you're hearing and who you're hanging out with. Because these things influence you. Again, Proverbs 13:20 is not written for no reason. Like, that's a real verse. I think Proverbs 9 also talks about this as well. Forsake the foolish and live. But it's important, our influence that we have in our life. There's a reason why God, when he was speaking to Abraham, there's a reason why Abraham did not believe the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, he was still living amongst his family. And God called him out and said, if you leave, he said, get thee out from your country and leave your kindred, leave your family, and then he'll bless you. And then God said, he'll bless you. He'll bless Abraham. And there's a reason why there needed to be separation, even physically speaking. That's what I'm saying. Even sometimes there's physical things, that physical changes that need to take place for the sake of our mind. And that was a physical separation even that God needed for Abraham to think separate. He's like, all this noise around you, his family were into idol worship. And he says, you need to come out from them and then I'll bless you. But I literally can't. And he knew about the Lord, obviously, that God was speaking to him. He knew about God, and yet God has said, I can't get my blessing through to you with all the noise around you. I can't do it. You need to come out, separate yourself from their influence, and then I'll be able to speak to you. And as God began to speak to Abraham, it culminated in Genesis 15. And while God was speaking to Abraham, he said, so shall your seed be. And Abraham believed. That would have never happened, or it would have been severely throttled if he had stayed amongst his idol-worshiping family. And he's receiving the word of God even amongst his family. But that word couldn't permeate his mind. It was getting choked enough to where God actually told Abraham, you have to physically separate yourself out and come over here, come over to Canaan, which he brought his nephew with him, but separated himself from everybody else. He brought his believing nephew with him. And God spoke to him, and Abraham believed. And we have the verse today that he believed, and it was accounted for righteousness. And that started with a physical separation even, simply because God wanted Abraham to think separate. Again, we would call that holiness, but sometimes that means different things to different people. Separateness, being separate from the unclean, being separate from the things of this world, from the things that are defiled. And I don't mean that in a self-holiness way. I just mean that in a God's holiness way. We have been made separate and holy from the Lord on the inside, and God does want us to think separately. And if you think separately, you will get different results than this world is getting. I'm going to stop right here with the statement, just right here. This is why the Lord told us. The Lord for a while even was telling me special miracles, special miracles. The word special meaning like uncommon, right? And the Lord was telling me special miracles. And then the Lord started saying things even at church about, you know, you believe something special, so therefore you're going to get special results. You will get results that no one else has ever seen before, maybe even in your family. Maybe no one in human history has ever tapped into with the Lord before. If you are willing to go against the grain of what everybody else is telling you and what everybody else believes, and you actually don't care about the persecution. I felt like the Lord was even telling me just the other day, like, will you receive this? Like, if I want, because I was asking for revelation on a particular thing. And he said, like, will you receive it? And the first thing that came to mind was persecution. And I said, yeah, Lord, like, if you tell me something that sounds so sacrilegious to the Christian church, but it's true, and it's Jesus-centered, and it's reality, like, I'll do it. And if the whole church gets mad about it and everybody persecutes me over it, like, I'm ready for that. Like, I'm willing to receive that. And by your Spirit, I'll be able to keep my head on straight. And yeah, Lord, I'm willing to receive it. So you got to be willing to do that. That God's looking for. God's not looking for just a Christian who will believe only as much as other people will allow them to believe. But in the face of persecution, say, you know what, that's not going to choke the word out from me. And I'm willing to receive whatever you have to say to me, Lord. That's thinking separate.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.